A very good evening and welcome, especially to some of my dear friends who have come all the way. Well, I must first begin by saying that when Shradhavan asked me to speak on Savitri, I was most nonplussed. I thought, well, this is not my cup of tea, and I should immediately refuse. When I thought a little later, I remembered Niruddha's words to me, where he said, Savitri Bhavan, very important work of Sri Aurobindo. You must be connected and you must go there. So I just used to tell me this when I was quite young. And we used to be in Pondicherry, and the slightest invitation or idea, he would say, let's go. And we would get up in the evening and go into the car, and we would go for a drive to Auroville. And then he would always come to Savitri Bhavan, take a walk around, and we would leave. I mean, most of these buildings weren't even up at that time. So that really is what brings me here today. Having said that, I thought I would give you first a very small introduction about how I was introduced to Savitri. And again, it happened with Niruddha in 1988. I just realized 20 years, it's 2008 this year. And, being just out of college and so on, and very young and enthusiastic, the first thing he told me is, do you want to learn poetry? And I said, yes, I would certainly like to learn poetry. He said, well, let us begin with Savitri. And you must learn first how to scan, what is the iambic pentameter. And he gave me some pages and he showed me, stress, unstress, stress and unstress. And he said, now you go and you mark these and you bring them back to me. I still have that copy of Savitri where I was marking these. He would correct it. Then he would explain, and this went on for about a month. I didn't understand a word of Savitri, but all I was doing was doing the scanning, just trying to understand the rhythm of Savitri. And that began the introduction. Since then, there have been other people who have introduced me to Savitri, but I think the one that I would like to mention is Sri Aurobindo himself. One of the first experiences I had of him was when I had this deep inner aspiration to hear him read Savitri. And I asked everybody in the ashram that, has anyone got a recording of Sri Aurobindo reading Savitri? And they all said no. Well, I had, when I was in Delhi, a kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, vision or dream or whatever, of Sri Aurobindo, and we were sitting on a table, and he asked me that, so what would you like me to read, essays or Savitri? And I said, Savitri. And I still remember that canto he started reading. It was unnamed. It was a strange canto, and I tried to look for it later, not knowing Savitri at all in those days. I think I was not really able to catch which canto it was, but I heard him read Savitri for a very long time. So that remains with me. So I can at least say I've heard Sri Aurobindo read Savitri. Well, with that, I will begin about Savitri and what it means to me. I think, I didn't want to give an exposition on Savitri because I don't think there can be one, and it's so vast and so deep that whatever one knows today is not sufficient and is very, very meager. So what I will share with you is a little bit about what it means to me and what are the things that I find have been very meaningful in my own journey with Savitri. The first thing about Savitri that really caught my consciousness was that it was an invocation of the human soul to the Supreme. an awakening of the human aspiration for the divine consciousness. And this was one thing that ignited within me this aspiration. And that's why I often go back to Savitri to do that. I'd like to begin now with a canto, a small paragraph of this invocation of the human soul, one that, that evokes something. And I always think that there's no talk complete on Savitri without reading Savitri itself. So I have many passages. So those who have a book, it's page 12, book 1, canto 2. I've chosen this particular passage because all of us, I feel, in the journey, in our own journey, at least those who are in the ashram in Auroville, certainly have reached this point. So begin with this point. It is the point of change, where Sri Aurobindo says, "The hour had fallen now on Savitri, a point she had reached where life must be in vain, or in her unborn element awake, her will must cancel her body's destiny, for only the unborn spirit's timeless power can lift the yoke imposed by birth in time. Only the self that builds the figure of self can raise the fixed interminable line that joins these changing names, these numberless lives, these new oblivious personalities, and keep still lurking in our conscious acts the trail of old forgotten thoughts and deeds, disown the legacy of our buried selves, the burdensome heirship to our vanished forms, accepted blindly by the body and soul." This particular sentence, a point she reached where life must be in vain, I think we all reach that point when we feel that life itself is vain, as it is, unless there is something greater. And it's this that strikes me throughout the various passages in Savitri, where each time the sense that there has to be something more than this terrestrial existence, there has to be something greater than this human ego, human existence as we see it today. The second aspect of Savitri is the Savitri is a mantra of love. It is, for me, a mantra of healing. I remember that I've had many experiences where, from very, very physical things like a slip disc, or more psychological things, you could say, when there's been either physical disability or mental disability, just listening to Savitri, just hearing the words of Savitri, there is a mantric power in Savitri to heal and to invoke energies that are far beyond our normal reach. I remember this, that, there was, it is again a personal experience. I was hearing Savitri, I was very, very, terrible pain in the back. And I thought, oh my God, this is the end of it, I won't be able to get up, and who's going to look after the horses, and who's going to do the work tomorrow morning? So I said, well, now that I'm in this terrible state, I may as well do something, useful with my time. And I had Nirodha's CDs of Savitri with me. So I spent, 8 hours, the whole day in bed, and I had these CDs going on. And I must have gone into a very deep slumber. And suddenly I felt there was a golden light on my back. And I don't know what it did, but I can only tell you this. I got up from my bed, and I was perfectly well. I was perfectly well, so well that when I went to my doctor, she said, I think you should get another scan because you seem much better. We have no painkillers, nothing. And this is something, again, this is again the power of Savitri, the invocation of Savitri. But I do believe that when one listens to Savitri or when one reads Savitri, the key thing is aspiration. If there is an aspiration to go to understand, to go deeper, to call the divine, to call the supreme, to ask her help to transform our lives, to ask her help to transform our nature, to ask her help to get rid of oneself from oneself, so to speak, then there is a help, then there is something that comes in. It is not just a mundane, like all mantra, it has to be invoked, the power of the mantra has to be invoked. The third aspect of Savitri is, it is the development and growth of consciousness. It aids in the development and growth of consciousness. It creates the conditions for spiritual capacities and experiences. In the reading, you must have felt that after some time, if one has read and one has invoked, after a few hours, perhaps even at night, or when one is quiet, the power of that invocation creates a vibration in the body, creates a vibration in the mind, creates a vibration in the consciousness that brings something forward. It could be new capacities, for example, of poetry or of writing. It could be new experiences. And that again is a very great gift of Savitri. Always, I think, we go to Savitri because it keeps the consciousness at its highest point. Whenever one feels that one has come down once again to the mundane, ordinary level, one word, one passage of Savitri, and there we are uplifted. And I think that is because of one reason. And this is what I believe, you may. And that is that Savitri is an epic written from the, epic poem written from the over-mental consciousness with touches of the supermind. There is nothing of the mental in it except for the mind structuring, ordering, recording, transmitting. As Sri Aurobindo was listening, he was recording, he had reached that level and his mind had become a recording instrument of Savitri. Now if the inspiration of Savitri, and I believe it's probably one of the first works written with that highest over mental, supramentalized consciousness, if that is the inspiration from where it comes, one can just imagine the impact it has on the human consciousness and its own transformation. What is interesting is that this makes it very difficult to explain Savitri. This makes it very difficult to explain Savitri. If someone asks me to explain Savitri, I feel incredibly bad. I mean, even though we have Savitri sessions in the Gnostic Center, I can tell you, all we do is read Savitri. Because I always find the intrusion of the human voice, consciousness in explanation especially, brings in a lowering of the vibration. Except for ordering, structuring, organizing. This is the story, we are here, this is the canto, the general gist of it. Anything else of Savitri, until one has reached that level of consciousness, by itself is inadequate, because the mind cannot know, the mind cannot explain what has come from a much higher instrumentation.